All right. Thank you very much for attending this session today. This is our first Build conference. My name is Bhrigu Sareen, General Manager for Microsoft Teams. About 7 weeks ago, we announced the general availability of Microsoft Teams in 181 markets and 19 languages. Microsoft Teams is the new chat-based workspace in Office 365, being used by over 50,000 organizations worldwide. It supports persistent and threaded chat to keep everyone engaged. It is the true hub for teamwork. Every individual is different, and every team is unique. Microsoft Teams enables groups to customize their experience, bringing together relevant files, applications, and services. So people have the information and the tools that they need to collaborate. Served from our hyperscale enterprise-grade cloud, delivering security and compliance that you expect. Microsoft Teams has an extensible platform. Whether you are an enterprise developer, an ISV, or responsible for IT operations, we believe that the integrations you build will enable unique workflows and scenarios. Today we will talk about how you can build on top of Teams, how you can extend it as part of your application. Over the last few months, we've been talking to a number of partners, and I'm super excited to announce that we have over 150 integrations available and coming soon. These key partnerships enable users to make it their customized hub for teamwork. Throughout the conference, a number of the partners are actually presenting. So I would highly encourage you to take some time and attend those sessions to learn firsthand their experience building on Teams. With that, I'm going to jump into a quick demo of Teams, and then we will get into the features. So right here, you have Microsoft Teams. How many folks in the audience have used Microsoft Teams? Just show of hands. Wow, okay, almost 95%. That's great. Thank you. I'm sure a number of you have been using it since preview and have seen the evolution of the product. So thank you very much. So on the top left-hand side, you'll see an activity bell. Over here, you can actually see all my notifications, at mentions, people responding to my conversations. And then the next thing you will see is chat. And over here, I can have a one-on-one chat, a group chat, or I can have a chat with a bot, one-on-one with a bot as well. But I'd like to take a few minutes and talk about the teams. Over here, you can see I'm part of a couple of teams, the Graphic Design Institute, as well as the Product Development team. Each of these teams is composed of members that are group who I collaborate with. A team is a group of folks coming together supporting a common goal. And so we believe that this space here, right now, like a team has a number of channels. Right now I'm in the visiting speakers channel. And we believe the space over here allows users to bring together their files, their applications, and their services all together in context of what they are actually working on. So just to give, so I'm moving to the right side over here into the persistent threaded conversation part. And you see, right out of the gates, Microsoft Teams supports Word, Excel, PowerPoint, and a number of other applications. Right here, you see a Word document that's been embedded and that we're having a conversation around. I've been at mentioned, and so on the right side, you see the red at symbol show up. If I clicked on the Word document, it would open up and I can actually review the document. As I scroll up, you can see Mira sent me a message at 1 a.m. last night. She was up late, so I'm guessing this was really bothering her about me having to send a PO and get that finalized this week. But she marked it important, so it shows up and notifies me, oh, there's something urgent that I need to react to. As I scroll up higher, you see images that Katie has shared about the venue for this event that we're planning. And then if I scroll up higher, Tucker has actually shared a code snippet. And if I scroll further up, you will see a conversation with the HipMunk bot, where the group is deciding what flights to book for our trip. And we can sort it by cheapest, only a particular airline, or we could actually look at all the different options, and then we're having a full conversation around those flights. As I scroll further higher, you see a Power BI dashboard that we have embedded. Now, I can click on that, and I will, in a few minutes, demonstrate how the rich canvas that tabs provide. But before I do that, I wanted to talk a little about the editing or the rich compose box that Microsoft Teams has. Not only can you type in a message, but you could also send a GIF and even stickers, which really enables the team culture to come through and for folks to have a little bit of fun. And we think this is really important. Now, let me draw your attention to the top of the channel, up here. Every channel comes with files. When a channel or a team is created, it provisions a SharePoint in the back automatically. So all the group's files are in one place. For example, the Word document we saw earlier, if I were to click on it, it will open up and render right there in context. We can scroll and review. Now, a point that I want to highlight over here is on the top you see edit. Now, our goal over here is to provide users with the ability to interact and engage, but when, actually, it depends on your scenario. At the right time, it is appropriate for the user to actually tap out and go to your native application, whether it be a service on the web or an application. And Microsoft Teams supports that capability to go to your application. As I progress down, up here, if you look at the tabs, you'll see Wiki. And it's like every other Wiki, where you are able to store your content. This provides a single place to store the content, and because it's persistent, users that come back later on, join the new people joining the team, can actually access the content, and it stays there. The wiki supports really cool functionality like at mentions. Like I could at mention Mira over here, and it'll actually send her a notification in her activity feed, like we saw earlier. We have a tab for Planner. And this is a Microsoft Planner, like other task boards. For example, we just shipped Trello. And there are all the list of to-dos that we have to do, what's in progress. I have an item here assigned to me to finalize the venue, issue the PO, like Mira notified, sent the message earlier. I'm going to close that. So we wanted to provide a way to unload that collective knowledge and democratize the content for users. And so you see this Power BI dashboard. And so we have our team scorecard up here. And this is actually real live data. As I click the filters up here, as you see, the content updates itself based on that content. As I move over, you will notice this plus sign. If I click on that, you see that I could add a tab. And these tabs are from Microsoft products, but also a number of third-party partners. Again, just reinforcing the point that we really want to work with developers to provide this unique experience to the users. As I jump back into the conversations, an interesting thing, I'm just going to go scroll back up. Mira sent me the message saying if I could update the PO or issue the PO this week, but she also included a link over here. When I click on finalize the thing, if you noticed, it took me directly to the correct team, to the correct channel, to the correct tab, and then popped up the corresponding card for me to go say, yes, I've issued the PO and called the venue. So this deep linking functionality is available, and this deep link can get shared in Teams as well as, let's say, through an email. So with that, I want to jump to the meetings part of it. In terms of meetings, Teams provides a rich ability to schedule, to have voice and video conversations right through Teams. I don't have any scheduled meetings because I'm doing this presentation, I guess, so that's good. And then I'm going to jump to apps. Now, this is something we're announcing for the first time today. The app flyout over here has your recently used applications, which could be a bot, could be a tab, or you could discover all your applications. And this in-product store is available today in developer preview and will roll out shortly to all users. Today, we are announcing the ability for all of you to submit to the Office Store a Teams application. And a Teams application could be a bot or a bot or a tab together, or a combination of these extensibility features. To talk more about the extensibility features, please join me in welcoming my colleague, Jigar Tucker, Director of Engineering, and Larry Jin, Senior Program Manager.
Thanks, Brigu. So Brigu asked you, how many of you guys have used Teams? A lot of you guys raised their hands. Yep. We have a more important question. How many of you have posted a Giphy in the channel? All right. Pretty good coverage. I think we are pretty well successful, Brigu. All right. So around 2 years ago, our journey started. We started imagining what this product would be. And we started putting together the application architecture, the middle tier, the back end. We had the vision to make sure that Teams becomes the hub of teamwork and collaboration. Such a hub is only successful if we get thousands of developers like yourself and their applications baked into the product, so there is less context switching for the users, and they can get a lot of work and productivity done in one place. So after 2 years, I'm very happy to be here in front of you developers and announcing the Microsoft Teams developer platform, app platform. So since all of you have, so many of you have used Teams, I think a lot of you have probably developed tabs, bots, and connectors as well. Can I have a show of hands who is aware of these features or have built some things around it? It's quite a few developers. It's great to see that. So we'll talk a little bit more details about tabs, bots, and connectors. But today, we'll also be announcing three more features around actionable messages, which are rich cards you can paste directly into channels, activity feed, how can you engage end users through the activity feed, and one of the most unique and exciting new feature that is available only in Teams, the Compose extensions. We'll see that very shortly. And like Brigu said, we'd love for you guys to build an application that covers all these six cool features and more coming and publish it to the Office Store. As soon as the application gets certified, you will be able to see it in the developer preview. In about a month, in June, end users will see an in-app store and they'll be able to browse through your applications and start using them. Once they start using your application, you can reach these users in their chats, one-on-one chats. You can reach them in channels where the core conversations about a team are happening. You can notify them, or you can also actually engage them in a personal workspace in a flyout tab. So let's walk through all of these details, all of these features one by one. I'll start off with tabs. Tabs provides the richest surface area for you. It's as simple as taking your existing application, your web application or your website, and baking that into Teams. And you can have a tab in the context of team productivity, so you can host it inside a channel, so everybody in the team can actually access that tab in your application. Or you can be as a part of the app flyout, which is unique to just the particular user you're referencing. One thing I want to emphasize and have you guys understand that this application is yours, your UX, your services, and your data. I want to give you an example of what Asana has done here. In our design team, there's a channel product launch, and there's a task list that we have done using Asana. You can see all these tasks in Asana, and you can actually add a new task or sign off on a certain task as completed. It's very similar to the functionality Brigu showed from Planner. So this is a level of richness you can have in your business logic inside the tabs. Larry, please show us how to build these things.
The one that says Jin on it. There we go. Awesome. Thanks, Jigar. By the way, you guys saw that right. It said senior program manager, and I'm the one doing the demo and the code walkthrough. So we thought it'd be a nice irony to have the dev do the clicking. So we're going to start with an example today. We're going to talk through a complete end-to-end fictitious app that we've created. So we have this task app here. So this is just a basic task management product. It helps you create, view, and manage tasks. And you can see here that I've sideloaded this particular app to this team, this design team. Now, let's see what capabilities it has to offer. If I go to this product launch channel and click the plus button like Brigu showed earlier, you'll notice here that under the list of apps that have been added to this team, we have the task app here. And I'm going to click on this to add a tab. Now, you'll notice what happened here is we get a configuration experience right inside of Teams. Now, what's great about this is not only do you get your content into the product via tabs through that surface area, you also get your own custom configuration experience. And what I love about this is, you know, rather than force the user to have to jump out of Teams, go to another website, configure that integration back in and do the context switching, which, you know, might be great if you're someone who's a little bit more tech savvy, as someone who's just an average user of Office 365, you know, this just brings that experience into Teams, and it's very streamlined and it's very intuitive. And so this area inside of here, I don't know if you guys can see the shading, but basically between these two lines, you know, that's your content. And we're going to show in a second how that configuration experience works and how that's integrated in. But, you know, in this case, I have a tab that's for, you know, if I want to create a design tab, track 3 days of tasks, pick a color. Now, if you're integrating, let's say, a sales CRM system, this might be choosing the account. You know, if this was a data visualization product that you're integrating into Teams, it might be a dashboard or report that you want to show in this particular tab. So when I click save, that's going to pin this as a tab. And so you can see here that, you know, this is really the full kind of surface area, the full canvas of Teams available to you to provide your native application experience and your content. You know, and the great thing is this content lives alongside that conversation. And to give an example of that, if I click this chat icon up here at the top right, I can start a conversation. What this does is it creates a persistent chat that is associated with this tab as part of Teams. And so this means that, you know, it's not just about embedding that content, it's about having it in this persistent workspace alongside where people are talking and discussing about that content. So thus far, I showed you how to add a tab to a channel. Similarly, going through the app flyout that Brigu showed, if I go find that app, I can now also engage with that app in the personal workspace. And so you can see here that I've had some conversations with the bot of this, mostly just asking for help because I'm always lost. But there's also this My Tasks tab. So this is what we refer to as a personal static tab. So think about this as, you know, the content that you want to show to your end user in a personal workspace. In this case, these are all the tasks that have been assigned to me, aggregated across the product. But similarly, you know, if this was a data or reporting service that you've integrated in, you know, might be showing some of your pinned dashboards, some of your favorite reports in this view. So really, it's about enabling personal productivity in this view. So now that I've showed a couple of ways that you can interact, or the user can interact with tabs in the product, let's take a look at how this actually comes together. So I'm going to jump into my editor, and the first thing that we're going to walk through is what's known as the manifest. So if you're familiar with other platforms like Office add-ins, this is going to be very similar to that. You've basically got a declaration of your app and its capabilities. So walking through this, you can give it, you know, you can name the app, put in the developer information, give it a description, links to icons, etc. Now, as you can see here, down here, we've got a declaration of the different capabilities. So we've got two sections that I'll talk about in particular. One is around static tabs and the other is configurable tabs. So I just showed in that personal workspace the My Tasks tab and the Details tab. Well, here's a declaration of that. So very simple piece of JSON where you give the tab the name, the entity ID, which is used for deep linking that you saw with Brigu's example, and then the content URL is the actual URL that will be embedded. So on the web, you know, using iframe technology, and on the desktop client, we use web views. So you can see the two tabs there. And then under configurable tabs, now because what I showed you was a dynamic experience, when I clicked that plus and I pinned that that tab, I had to choose what I wanted to pin. And so the declaration here is just a pointer to your configuration experience. So if you've got a web app experience with, you know, your custom UI with dropdowns, this is the content that this points to. And so I'll quickly just show that configuration page for a second. So you saw earlier that we had a name field, we had the number of days to track, and then we had a drop-down selector. So this is just a simple web page that I've got hosted on a server somewhere, or maybe on a local machine under a desk. And the code down here is the actual integration. And so that configuration page that you saw, really there's three steps here. One is we're calling the Microsoft Teams JavaScript library to initialize, and so that way it establishes the fact that this content is hosted within Teams. The second is that by default, we disable the save button, and so what we've added here is a listener so that if someone types something into that name input field, we enable the save button. And then lastly, this is what happens when the user actually clicks the save button. That configuration page is telling Teams, hey, I want to set up a tab, and I want it to have this entity ID, this content URL, and this name. And so hopefully this gives you a taste of how to get started with the app manifest, and then how to wire in tabs using the libraries that we have available. I'll hand it back to you, Jigar.
Thanks, Larry. So I hope you guys saw how easy it is to build out tabs. So tabs gives you a rich area for your where you can take over the entire space for your features and your business logic. But what if you want to insert your data or your experiences right inside the conversations? So inside Teams and channels, that's where a lot of users are engaging with each other. And for that, you have the connectors with actionable messages. A lot of you raise your hands and said that you already use connectors. How many of you guys have built actionable messages for Outlook? A few of you. So the good news here is if you build actionable messages using connectors for Outlook, the same technology, the same code can be used for Teams as well. With that, you can push really rich interactive cards right inside a channel for interaction with the user. And you can use our incoming webhook APIs for this. So let me give you an example of a card that has been created here by Trello. It's a pretty rich card. It talks about synchronizing with marketing for GTM plants. You can set a due date. You can move it to somebody else. You can add a comment or click on View in Trello and go directly into Trello to do more operations. So this is a way for you to do those little tasks right inside your channel. So Larry will get back to you to do a deeper demo on this.
Awesome. So you can see here in this channel, in this example with our task app, that Jigger's created a task, and with connectors that notified the channel and it pushed in one of these rich card messages. And so this is using the standard Office 365 connector card schema. But what's new is that with actionable messages, this is not just content in a channel. It's actually interactive, and users can complete their workflows inside of Teams. And so if I click add a comment, I get this rich input section here where I can type in my comment. If I click set due date, I can change the due date using this rich date time picker. And then similarly, I can change the status using this drop-down list. And so what we've shown here is a very simple example. It's got just one input per section, but you can actually easily create an input section that has multiple input forms, multiple fields, and create some pretty sophisticated UI. And so what's great about this is, you know, it doesn't force everything to have to be done through the text box, through, you know, like a command line interface. You're really able to create these cool kind of hybrid conversational experiences. And so, looking at the schema really quickly of how we put this together, I'm not going to show any code because with connectors, really, it's just firing into an incoming webhook URL. But I'll show kind of the schema of this really quickly. You can see here that we've got the main section where we've got some of the fields that you saw in that demo with the title, subtitle, and facts, which are the key value pairs that showed up, like who is it assigned to and the due date. And then down here, you've got a list of all the actions. And in this case, we define three different action cards, they call them. So one for adding a comment, and that uses a text input field. There's another one for setting a due date, which has that date time picker. And then the last one is that multi-select that you saw as well. So it's really easy to just use JSON to construct this. As Jigar mentioned, this same schema works in both Outlook and Teams. So if you send that message, it works consistently in both products. There's also a really cool website, Playground, where you can actually just kind of construct these on the fly and then see what it'll look like in Teams and Outlook. And you'll find out a lot more about that in the documentation. So I hand it back to you.
Great. So you saw in the demo the activity feed. Activity feed is part of your daily digital habit, actually, if you're using Teams. This is where you see your likes, at mentions, if somebody has made a reply to your comment. And this is where a lot of users go to get their task done as soon as they show up in the morning. So we want to enable you to send messages and notifications to this activity feed. This is the best way to engage an end user, to drive attention towards any task you want them to look at inside your application. So any notification that shows up from your app inside the activity feed will have a deep link to take you directly into the task, and you can program that. So here's an example of the Contoso app. Den has sent me a pull request. When I click on that link without leaving Teams, I'll be able to look at the code review and put in my comments and approve it or reject it or send for modifications right in place in situ inside Teams. Just a plug for a developer session that is coming up tomorrow where you'll be able to see more how you can customize Teams for developers, and a lot of you in the audience would love to hear that talk about that. Next, I want to talk about bots. There's a lot of hype about bots in the industry. There are a lot of great bots and there are other bots. I want to talk to you about how can you make bots your advantage in an enterprise application. In Teams, some of you have already built these bots. It's really easy to build bots using the bots framework, and we highly recommend you to use the Microsoft bot framework. And using this, your bot can interact in a conversational format with the user, either in a one-on-one chat or inside the team in a channel. A bot can have basic commands, or you can show a menu of commands, to indicate to the user what kind of actions this bot can perform. We also support natural language. If you saw Harry Shim's keynote this morning, he was talking about Lewis and natural language. A lot of those features, and Larry will talk more about it, are baked in where you can use those features to identify the intent in the query and act accordingly. So let's look at what Polly has done here. Polly is a pretty interesting bot that we use in our own team for things like, you know, hey, where do you guys want to go for lunch today? Here's an example for where do you want to host the launch event? And there are three options. You can select any option. In situ, the card gets modified, and you can see the update, and your result is shown there. When other users start polling as well, you can see in real time which area is winning, where are the most votes going, and so on and so forth. So we'll go into a little bit more details here. Larry will show us.
Great. So back in this channel, let's say I wanted to invoke a bot. I wanted to create a task, you know, so I can say at taskbot. Now, the one thing you'll notice right off the bat here is this little prompt came up. And if I click on that, it actually shows all of the different commands that this bot supports. So this is a new feature that we've added, known as the bot menu or the input menu. And it's really easy as a developer, I'll show in a second, to define one of these. And it really declares, you know, here are the top level commands that my bot supports. And what it does is, one, you know, in terms of user education, it's really easy for the user to kind of grok what this bot can do. And then secondly, it helps them complete that scenario. So if I type create, you know, I don't have to type the whole thing, click enter, and then I can give it the name of the task. So remember to sync with design. Hit enter, and the bot will return with a task card. And for those that are familiar with bots in the bot framework, of course, you know, we support all the major card types, like thumbnail card and hero card. And so you're able to provide a mixture of text and image and buttons. Now, the cool thing that we've just recently added is the concept of dynamically updating messages. So if I click on assign to me, ignoring the ugly message below, you'll see that that content refreshed inline and it now says assigned to Larry Jin, and I've changed the buttons. And so this is a way for you to make your bot more interactive and to also make that content feel a little bit more lively. Similarly, of course, I can interact with that bot in one-on-one. And this goes back to that personal workspace that I showed earlier. And I can complete the same scenario there. I also get the bot menu there, so that consistent experience. One note is that you can actually customize a different menu for channels versus one-on-one. So if your bot supports different scenarios across those contexts, that's something that's available to you. So now let's see how this code came together. Going back to VS Code, taking a look at the manifest again, you'll see that we already have this declaration of a bot section here. So if I open it up, you'll see that I've declared a bot ID. Now, this bot, for those that have already built bots using the bot framework, I had to register on botframework.com. So you'll see I've got this task bot registered. I've got the messaging endpoint declared here. So this is my API service endpoint that gets called when a user sends my bot a message. And then I've got the app ID and other credentials that I need for authentication authorization. So going back into the manifest, in addition to the bot ID, I've got a few other things defined. The command list is where I actually provide the input menu. So you saw earlier that it supports commands like help and create and find and link. And so just very easily, a very simple JSON structure for me to go define that. And it's included in that manifest in that same structure. Now, hopping over the code for a second, I'll just spend a little bit of time on this. I know for folks that have built bots, this is going to be kind of review material. We are fully built on the bot framework. And so building a bot for Teams means you're reusing the same APIs and SDKs that you're already familiar with. So in this case, this is an example in C# using the botbuilder.net SDK. And so I've got a simple method here. This is kind of like my top level API controller method. So when a user sends my bot a message, it hits this piece of code. And at the top level, all I'm doing is checking for the activity type. And if the activity type is a message, I pass it along to what's known as a dialogue. A dialogue is kind of just a fancy term in the bot framework terminology for sort of a conversation session. So it helps manage state of the conversation in between messages. So we'll take a peek at that particular dialogue class that we've defined. And I'll start with this message received async method. So this is the method that gets called when the user sends my bot a message. And in this example, because all I'm doing is checking the text, I'm not really doing anything too sophisticated, just kind of parsing the text and doing almost like a switch statement on that string. In the case of create, I call a helper method send task message. If they're trying to assign, like that message update that you saw, I call this other helper update message, and so on and so forth. So we'll just take a quick look at send task message, which is one particular helper. And all this code is doing here is taking the message that the user sent in and generating a response card. So we generate the card, we put in some basic fake data, and then we provide it as an attachment And so you can see here, we're using the standard bot builder classes and helper methods, concepts like the thumbnail card and the message activity. And then we use the bot connector to send that back to the user. And then down here, because my bot is capable of doing that message update that you saw, I'm also storing some state in between sessions so that I can remember the activity IDs so I can post that message update later on. And so, you know, you can kind of see now with just maybe about a couple hundred lines of text, we were able to create an example that's fairly interactive and rich and uses several of the capabilities that I just demoed. One other thing I'll mention, just to bring it back to Jigar's point, is that, you know, what we showed here is just kind of like text processing. But if you do want to add more richness and more sophistication, you know, you can use Microsoft's cognitive services, Lewis.ai in particular, to do intent entity recognition. And the nice thing about, again, building a bot for Teams is you can use the dialogue, you can add the Lewis, extend the Lewis dialogue class, and all of that is pretty much wired up for you as part of the SDK. You just have to create that Lewis model. And so, you know, really easy to kind of pull these different Microsoft technologies together to build your app for Teams. I'll hand it back over to you.
Thanks, Tariq. So next, I want to introduce you to a really cool new feature. You don't need to remember any complex commands. You have seen how rich our compose box is. You can enter and format text. You can add emoticons or GIFs or customizable stickers. But we want you to personalize the compose box for yourself even more. So what we've done is build compose extensions. Compose extension allows a pretty rich way for you to get your own data from your services inserted directly into the compose box. This helps reduce the friction and context switching for the users of the product. So to give you an example, let's look at VSTS. Ordinarily, you would have to go to VSTS, find a list of bugs, find the bug that you care about, and send it off to somebody and tell them to take care of the bug or give them some feedback on that. With Compose extension, you can actually query for all the bugs right there in the Compose box. Here, it's kind of a meta joke here that the bug is about a cat that is misbehaving erratically inside the Compose box while I'm talking about the Compose box. This kind of stuff is very funny for developers. Here you go, you can get it done right there, and you don't have to actually switch to any application. You can reuse all the services you already built for tabs and bots. Larry will show us more deeply how you can do this.
Thanks, Jigar. This actually is definitely one of my favorite features that we've announced, and it's really actually made life easier for us internally. You know, if you're a developer, you've got a workflow where if you want to reference a particular build or PR or bug or, you know, deployment, and it's like, okay, let me go and find that information. Let me copy a link from somewhere. So, you know, going back to our example, if I wanted to, you know, ping Daria and say, hey, check out this task, you know, like Jigar said, I'd have to probably alt tab out, go to that website, copy that link, put it back in, and oh, guess what? Daria sees a link, and you know, it's really not a very pleasant experience for anyone. So with Compose extensions, the idea is the ability to pull all that information as you're composing that message, so it's right at the user's fingertips. And so here, you see this dot, dot, dot below the Compose box. If I click on that, it'll bring up a list of services that I have available. Now, in this case, I've got a few examples. And now let's click on the task app again. And now you'll see that it immediately brought up a set of results. And in this case, this was kind of a default run. So imagine this is sort of like your MRU, or it could be the items that you recently viewed. And so, you know, in this case, these are probably the tasks that I've recently opened up or interacted with. And I can search as well. So I can search for design. I come up with a set of tasks, grab one of these, and it inserts that into that chat as a rich card, and it preserves all of that richness, and it uses the same card schema that you've seen already with bots and with connectors, and it has the buttons as well. And the cool thing is that as a user, you could still compose around it, right? So you still have the opportunity to manipulate that message at mentioned people and send that off. And if you don't want to use the UI to kind of hunt through it, you know, you can use a keyboard as well. So I can do exactly the same thing. And this time, instead of create, I'll do search. You see that experience kind of turned into a pill with that insertion mode. And then search for design. And again, I get the same experience. Looks like we got a couple of busted icons, but you get that same consistent experience. So, you know, the beautiful thing about this is it's intuitive, it's easy to use. As an end user, you don't have to think about memorizing a command or memorizing a particular syntax. You know, you're just using very, you know, familiar concepts. Like if they're used to Giphy, they're used to memes and stickers, they can do that and find work items, find, you know, CRM opportunities or whatever they need to grab. And so as a developer, you know, this just means that there's a higher opportunity for engagement with your app, with your service, by integrating directly into that conversation inside of the user's workflow. And so we'll look at the code, and the one thing that I'll say is that, you know, if you've already built a bot, this is super easy because it's all kind of layered on top of each other. So going back to our manifest, jump down to this compose extension section. You can see here that, you know, the structure is pretty self-explanatory. We've got one compose extension. I've plugged in the bot ID. So I mentioned this was kind of built on top of the bot infrastructure. And so, you know, I have that same cloud-based service running that's listening to user requests. I've got the description of the compose extension, and I've got a list of commands. In this particular case, I've only got one command, which is to search for tasks, and I've got one parameter, which is just some keywords. And so popping into the code for a second, going back to this top-level messages controller that we just saw, previously I showed if it was a message, I pass it off to the dialog. Now in this case, if it was a compose extension request, I pass it to this simple helper class that I've created to construct a response and bring that back to the user. So take a quick look at that. And so inside of this method, this helper class I've created, all it's doing is helping return a response. And what I'm doing here is I'm checking for the parameters, I'm grabbing the parameters, and then I'm generating a set of cards to return back to the user. Now, for those that are pretty observant, you'll notice that we've got classes defined like compose extension result, compose extension attachment. These are classes that we've added to the Microsoft Teams SDK. So we actually have SDKs in Node and C# that build on top of the bot builder SDK. So what it means is that if you've already built a bot using those SDKs and you say, hey, I want to go add a compose extension, I want to add more functionality, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't have to make, you know, HTTP REST API calls and do all the auth yourself. You can reuse that existing implementation and then use our helper methods and object model classes in order to add the compose extension functionality. And so, you know, this total class is 100 lines of code. Yours will probably be a little bit longer than that because you've got real data. But I just, you know, hopefully you guys can see just how easy it is to do this. And, you know, it really is one of my favorite features. And that's it for demos, and I just want to kind of recap some of the things that we've shown in terms of extensibility. You know, our principle is that we want Teams to be a super rich developer surface. You know, it's not just about hooking into one particular area like the conversation stream. We want to give you, you know, the tab extensibility so you get that full canvas. Hooking into the conversation stream, hooking into users when they're composing their message, and then of course that personal workspace that we saw with the flyout. So, you know, a really diverse set of extensibility points so that you can surface the best possible user experience for your customers and teams. So with that, I'll hand it back to you, Jigar.
Thanks, Larry. So those were the end of the code demos. What do you guys think of Larry's demos? You saw the rich surface area. You saw six different features Larry talked about. We will be continuously innovating in this area to give even more features for extensibility for developers. But at this point, we want to really emphasize and announce that Microsoft Teams is open. We really want you to get registered as soon as possible. Start submitting your apps to the Office Store. Once, what do you think of a Microsoft app? Microsoft Teams app is right now tabs, connectors, actionable messages, activity feed, bots, and compose extensions. All these things are available for you, and you can use it in developer preview and start building your application. Once your app is approved, you can see it in the preview. Very soon, next month, the store will appear for all the users. And if you have published your apps and gotten them certified, the users will be able to use your apps right away as soon as the store is launched. And it's a very effective way to reach the users in all the different parts of our product, whether it's one-on-one chat, team collaboration inside the channels, activity feed, or in their personal workspace. So we're eagerly looking forward to seeing all your apps coming to the Office Store for your submissions. So a lot of our team's engineers and experts are at Build for the next 3 days. And we want you guys to go immerse yourself with the rest of the product architecture, ask them a lot of questions. And there are a lot of sessions for that. Today you'll see the Talk to Experts session in the Office 65 booth. Tomorrow, our partner Adobe with Creative Cloud and the Document Cloud, they're talking about Teams at noon. At 4 p.m., there's a Q&A again with our experts from Office 65. After that, around 2:30, you have our partners Rike, Sappho, and Adobe talking about their solutions. On Friday, I mentioned that it's going to be a session focused on developers on how you can get the maximum value out of Teams. Our own developers, actually, I want to give you a quick anecdote. We started the team 2 years ago, and in less than 2 months, we had a deadline to start self-hosting and make up and dogfooding the product itself. So all of our developers, within 2 months of starting on the team, started dogfooding Teams. And since then, we've been, you know, adding features to make sure life becomes easier and easier for developers. A lot of folks at Microsoft are also using Teams for live site and service reliability engineering, and we really want you guys to think about how can you make Teams part of your daily workflow. These are all the sessions related to Office, and you can see the highlighted ones which are related to Teams. All this should be in the handouts you guys have. So you can go to dev.office.com/Microsoft Teams, get started there. There's a starter project, you can take you'll have this text, so you can take a look at it and click on the link. The design guidelines for building these apps are going to be available today as well. I really want to encourage you to start, to join the Office Developer Program. In our app, if you click at the bottom, there's a settings button, then there's an about, and you can go and switch to developer preview. That's how you get access to all these features. Other users won't have access to these features. So you can see that the Teams canvas is open for your creativity. All it's waiting for is your ideas, your data, and your services pumping in user experiences. To get going, you can take, as I said, you can take your existing application or a web app and very quickly turn it into an application for Teams, which can use all these six interesting features and surfaces we talked about. But as you get familiar by using Teams more, I really want you guys to use Teams a lot and send us a ton of feedback. When you get start using Teams, you'll get more familiar with the information architecture, the underlying architecture of our bot framework and other pieces of the platform. We'd love to hear more feedback from you. And once you do that, you'll be able to build more custom and engaging experiences, really targeting Teams specifically. So I really want to thank you for your time for coming here. We would love to have your feedback and all your apps inside Microsoft Teams. Thank you very much. Good job, Ali.
So we have a few extra minutes if anyone has any questions. The mics are right in the front and I think in the middle of the room back there as well.
So great work, by the way, guys. I really love the ability to do the dynamic buttons on the cards. Yeah, it's been something a lot of us have probably worked around, you know, and it's always a pain too because when you have a card sitting there and somebody goes and reclicks on the button again, and you're like, what the heck happened? Right? Never happened to any of you guys.
We have a funny story about that.
Yeah. a couple of questions. One, so from within an app or a tab or a bot that's sitting in a channel. The way we, again, for an enterprise-style app, we do an OAuth kind of handshake. So is there any way to know, like, at the time, was there any plans to do more integration so we don't have to go through all of that business ourselves?
Yeah, so I'll answer that a couple of ways. You know, overall, we're trying to make auth more seamless across the different capabilities. And, you know, it's obviously challenging when you have, like, bots as the sort of conversational API integration, tabs is more of a sort of a web context. But there are things that we can do now. So one is our APIs that we have available as part of the bot framework, you can now get more comprehensive profile information about all the team members. Okay. So that includes the AD object ID, the UPN, email address, and first and last name. So that's one way that you can just quickly verify, hey, is this person, who is this person, if you already have data on your back end to map that to, you know, your user profile object.
Yeah, I think we all probably just, you know, use Matt Veloso's
Which works yeah. well. The second thing I'll say is that we are working on making the sign-in experience more streamlined. Okay. So, you know, hey, you're already signed in to Office 365 in the product. So one is there's an SSO aspect that we are improving. Yeah. So if your app uses AAD SSO, the user shouldn't really have to go through any additional steps to get authenticated to that experience.
Right, got it.
They might
okay.
have to, you know, click consent if there is an OAuth type thing where you have to go through a bunch of permissions. But yeah. so that's definitely one thing that we want to make better. And if there is an additional sign-in that has to happen, we want that to happen in situ inside our experience. And so that's another thing
yeah,
we're working on.
Yeah, because today we bounce the user out to the
website. Browser. Yeah. yeah and it's all fairly disconnected. Okay. And you have to do the magic number because otherwise yeah. there's a, you know, impersonation attack. And so, yeah, those are all things that we're looking at. Actually, with Compose extensions, I didn't mention this, but actually we do have an auth aspect, yeah. and it's very similar to how you authenticate with a bot, except there's no magic number exchange. It happens much more
okay.
seamlessly.
Yeah,
so that'll be documented.
You just use the app credentials in one of your samples.
Yeah,
which is
I just
fine.
Showed a very, very yeah. simple example, but okay, we actually have, I think, a Facebook event Compose extension that we're publishing that shows how to do OAuth with Facebook. And so that's something that you can take a look at too.
Okay, so just one more question in terms of the apps and tabs, like if you're in an app or a bot and you're in a channel, is you gonna expose some more of like what's in that channel? So example, if there's a channel, I want to enumerate the members of the channel.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't really have the concept of channel members. We have, you know, team members.
Team members, yeah. Okay.
That being said, we are, you know, working on exposing more and more context through the Microsoft Graph APIs. So for build, we do have a few APIs that are going to be available in kind of beta/preview, and you're going to see a lot more coming where, you know, these assets come up. So, you know, can I get the message history, right? Can I yeah. see who's participated in a reply chain? So those are all definitely things that we're looking at.
Right, right, got it. Okay, right, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm coming from a security vendor, so do you have any plan to open any or using existing API to build like a DLP anti-malware solution on top of your Microsoft Teams platform?
We haven't thought about that scenario yet, but we'll be happy to talk to you further. We have a set of folks in the front row who'd be happy, like from our team, who'd be happy to learn more about it.
Yeah.
Sure, is that the second question is more about the graph? We heard yes. lots of noise about the graph. The API part of the graph, or?
Yes, so we're working on the graph. In the coming months, you'll hear a lot more from us about it.
Okay.
But definitely, we are talking to Office graph folks around the schemas, the objects, the APIs. You'll in the long run, you'll see Teams as much part of a graph as other parts of Office 65.
Okay, great, thanks.
We already started working on that, but we'll be announcing a lot yeah. more stuff in the future.
So if I've got a tab, it's a website somewhere, mm-hmm. As long as I'm inside the corporate firewall, can that website itself be internally hosted?
Yes.
Okay. And is there any context provided or available to the tab that would let me understand sort of what else is going on
yeah.
in the team? So
yeah.
if I created a tab, that, or if I've got a team that's all around a project,
that's right.
then I get information
that's
about
right.
what that project is. I can use that to drive my
that's
web
right.
experience.
That's,
and,
yep.
and as long as the user is in a world where they can see my server, then all of this just works the same way it would with an Office 365
right.
add-in
yeah,
or something.
One of the things a lot of the examples we showed were around like a task-based thing, but we highly encourage folks to build line of business applications because I think that's kind of where.
Yeah, that's where I'm coming from,
right.
and it's not entirely clear how the store figures into that either. How does a user ever get these?
You know, yes.
Yeah.
This is something that would never be known to the outside world. How does this become something that can be created as a tab?
So it's a great question, and we can give into the details. Let me introduce you to Pedro right here. And if you chat with him, he'll give you the specific details on how that could get structured.
Actually, one cool follow-up to your first point around content within the corporate firewall, there's a cool tech called Azure App Proxy, which allows you to create a publicly HTTPS secure authenticated endpoint that can then tunnel into on-premises resources. I encourage you to check it out.
Right, so that would then open it up even for people that were not inside
exactly.
the firewall.
So we had a cool demo where, you know, we have this internal tool that we use, and we actually pinned it as a tab by creating an app proxy for it. And so then if you're using Teams and you're not on the corporate network, you can still see that content in a tab.
Great, thank you.
Really? You're going to ask a question? I'm just joking because one of our really close partners, Reich, we work closely with them, so I'm wondering.
He's not a plan.
Yeah, hi guys, everyone. Thanks for all the work you're doing. So what would be the first experience for your new store? Because right now, I guess, the manifest will be incorporating all the different experiences and different extension points. And until now, the user kind of knows what he's doing exactly. Like, he has a specific gallery for a specific extension point. Yeah. Either he's in a tab gallery or in the bot gallery, so he knows what he's installing. Like right now, installing the single big application, which is great, actually, which we've asked in the beginning, and that's just perfect. But what would be his initial experience?
Yeah.
What exactly he will be installing, and how will be interacting with this?
So I can help answer that. So we want to keep both the top level discovery of, oh, I want to see what all the apps are. So that's what you saw with the app gallery. We are still keeping the contextual entry points. So that, hey, I just want to add this connector because I know I want to send notifications to this channel. Or, hey, I want to add this tab to this team. So we're not getting rid of those entry points. We still have those capability-specific entry points. And what we do is that if you are, and you know, this will be in the developer preview where you'll be able to check it out, but let's say you're adding a tab to this team and that tab has never been added as an app, right? Well, then at that point, the first person that does that, we say, hey, you're also adding this app. Do you consent to the following permissions? And then at that point, that app gets added to that team. But we're not doing away with, you know, pinning a tab or adding a connector to a channel.
Or a bot.
So we're at the hour now. Thanks, everybody, for joining. There'll be all
Thanks.
The experts will be
Thank
in the
you.
Booths. You can ask more questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Cool.